All right. Thank you, everybody. We will go ahead and call this meeting to order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce.
Here.
Councilmember Christensen.
Here.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item is a consent agenda. Questions, comments, motion?
Good, everybody? All right. I move we approve the consent agenda as published.
A second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor? Oh, Chris, would you poll the council, please?
Councilmember Bruce.
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen.
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway.
Yes.
Council President McPherson.
Yes.
And that motion carries. We do need to have an executive session to get information from our attorney. So I think the council will adjourn to a conference room in the back so we don't have to disrupt everybody out here. So we will need a motion for that. We will need legal counsel. And who did you want from P&Z staff, Jace?
If we'd be able to do myself, Troy, Jessica Reed, and Doug Hansen.
Okay. Oh, Morgan. Okay. Good.
Just all that. Okay. I move we adjourn to executive session under Idaho Code 742061D and to include our legal staff, planning and zoning staff, and our economic development director.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, we'll try and be back quick. We should have an official motion to adjourn from executive session, if you would, please.
I move we adjourn from executive session.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right, sorry that took a little longer than I thought. That leads us to public hearings. This is consideration to approve case number 2104-S, preliminary plat for Falcon Crest Golf Villages subdivision, continued from the meeting on the 1st of this month. We do have a sign-in sheet for anybody who wishes to testify. Is there anybody who didn't get a chance to sign in that wants to testify in this matter? Okay. I'm just going to write you down.
Mayor, if I may.
Yes, sir. You may have the floor.
I think there's a question in the audience about whether the public hearing had been previously closed and whether it's going to be reopened, just to clarify.
Right. All right. So we did close the public hearing the last time, but I think we do have we need to get some more comment from staff. And I think the school district has a letter they wanted to read into the record. Is that correct? Okay. All right. So it is up to the council whether or not to open the public hearing again. The other thing that I neglected to do was to give the applicant a chance to give their rebuttal at the end. So I also made an error in that. So it's up to the council if you want to make a motion to reopen the public hearing, we can do so.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, I would then move we open the public hearing for case number 21-04S.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries. I think we will start out with. Did you have something you wanted to add? Oh, okay. Jace, I'm going to go ahead and let you start.
Okay. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, my name is Jay Selman, Kuna Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. Just want to take a quick moment to do a walkthrough, kind of the history of the Falcon Crest development and what this application really is before you. The City Council approved that annexation of the 1,028 acres of Falcon Crest in February 2019. Along with that annexation, there were several applications that accompanied this larger project, including a comprehensive map change, a rezone, a plan unit development, and the first of the preliminary plats and a development agreement that regulates the build-out of this project. As a part of the overall application, a development plan detailing the development of the site, including acreage density and number of units for each different type of subdivision or plat included in the overall development of this project, was approved by the City Council. This preliminary development plan was included as a part of, or included as a part of the development agreement that was executed by the city and the developer in September of 2019. And what we're seeing in front of us this evening is the developer of Falcon Crest bringing forward a plat that is in compliance with the originally original development plan that was approved in 2019. This application is regulated by the city upon development agreement and the preliminary development plan. The development agreement provides the developer a vested right to develop this property in accordance with the development agreement and that development plan, and this application is truly a technical compliance application at this time. And with that, I'll stand for any questions you guys may have. And the mayor did allude, we did receive a letter from the school district. We did withhold it due to the public hearing being closed at that time. Now that it's open, we do have paper copies to distribute to you as well.
Okay. Questions for Jace?
No, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Jace.
You're the runner, huh? Fastest one on the P&Z. Best looking they could do.
All right, and then once again, was there anybody in the audience who didn't get a chance to sign in to testify who wishes to do so? Okay. With that, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing, and Kuna School District, is there someone in particular? Is that Mr. Reinhardt? Okay.
Mr. Mayor, honorable members of council, my name is David Reinhardt. I work for Kuna School District, 711 East Porter Street, Kuna, Idaho. Thank you for reopening the case, just so we could present you with a follow-up letter. And I think the essence of the letter is this. The essence of the letter is simply that you've asked for our input. We ask you to take it in light of the same way you take other public agencies' input. With that being said, for the sake of the record and the sake of the people gathered here, I'll read our comments. We are writing in response to case number 21-04S for Falcon Crest Villages subdivision included in your packet for this case was our letter and education impact statement that's already in your packet, stating that given this number of subdivisions already approved, we cannot serve school-age children in this development without the community approving property tax bonds, allowing the district to build additional classroom space. It is our understanding that the matter is tabled to allow the city to investigate whether or not a plat can be denied because of the school district's inability to serve. The purpose of this letter is to provide the city with our analysis of this question. In accordance with the requirements of law of the Idaho Local Land Use Planning Act, the city requests the school district's input on every development, and we appreciate that. The city defines us as one of its public agencies in Kuna City Code 6-4-2. We appreciate the request for our input, and we are working to ensure the city receives a response each time a development impacts the school district. Your code, City Code 6-2-3-F, provides in part, in determining the acceptance of a proposed subdivision, the commission shall consider the objectives of this title to include the following. the availability of public services to accommodate the proposed development, and the public financial capability to provide support services to the proposed development. Idaho Code 67-6513 provides that the city may provide for the mitigation effects of the subdivision development on the ability of the school districts to deliver services without compromising the quality of service delivery to current residents or imposing substantial additional costs upon current residents to accommodate the proposed subdivision. As described in our prior correspondence related to this application, we are unable to serve this development based on the information available now. May I continue?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Okay. To consider, so I'll restate the code. To consider whether the school district will be able to provide, accommodate the proposed development and public's financial capability to provide support services to the development. We request that our analysis of the potential impact not to be set aside as the city determine whether the application should be approved. To be clear, the school district is not asking the city to impose any type of impact fee or other mitigation upon the applicant as a condition of approval. What we are asking for is that you give due consideration to our ability to serve based on the information and data provided. CUNA School District's only way to accommodate this level of growth proposed before the city so often is to ask taxpayers of this community to vote on continuing bonds. While we know at times additional property taxes will be needed by the district and the city too, we want to keep the impact to our taxpayers at a minimum, requiring lower amounts or fewer bond measures. The city has rightfully sought input from the school district. We will provide it in letters, education impact statements, and presence at city council meetings. We respectfully insist that our formal input be treated with the same respect and weight as given other public agencies impacted by development within the city. We have been good partners with you. We ask for the same cooperation. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Sincerely, and I would just say the school district, myself and Robbie Reno signed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did anybody have any questions for
Yes.
David?
Yes. We talked about this a little bit. This subdivision was approved plat-wise, annexation-wise, almost 2 years ago.
Correct.
What's your plan?
Sure. Council Larraway, thank you for the question. I would just, maybe some context. The majority of this subdivision is age-restricted. We've said less about age-restricted. To my immediate knowledge, this is the first one that we're aware of that's coming before us that is not age-restricted. I may be incorrect in that, but I'm going on memory. So we weighed in on this one in particular, and now that we've, I think, found our rhythm in working with you in your process by responding to public agency requests, we're kind of catching up and getting into that spot. This happens to be the subdivision that is before you for that matter. We've written some others that are coming up that have a very similar letter. I would just add to that before this particular piece of land was brought before you 2 years ago, myself and Jim Obert had a casual conversation with the developer, nothing in writing, saying and at the end of that there was the sense that land, that there would be some land provided for a school. That was never finalized. Again, it's a unique situation in that you annexed and approved the overall concept, and as Jay said, some of the particular details, and this is very much compliance. But this one affects us, And there's another one coming up from that subdivision that will affect us, and we'll speak probably exactly the same language. Does that answer it, Councilman?
I'm just trying to go down a little bit of road here.
So sure.
I understand. If I do remember right, Falcon Crest did offer land. I remember that. But at the time of the meeting, there was no response from the school to either accept it or deny it. So it got passed without any input from the school district on the utilization of that land.
If Councilman Laraway, if there was an offer of land, it was never communicated to us.
Okay.
We have some on the table that are offers of land, and I have legal documents, or I have written documents that I'll take before our Board of Trustees.
So is your plan to get the school district on track a year down the road, 2 years down the road? I don't understand the bond system or what you have to go through.
Oh, sure. Thank you for the question on bonds. So we're currently involved in a capital planning project. Our current capital plan has bonds, depending on need and our ability to pass them. We've looked at options of 2, 3, 4 years. It's been since 2017 that we passed one. I do think it's significant that everybody really knows that there's no state in the union that has a harder system for passing a bond. So, and I know the mayor's been active and speaking on our behalf and being an advocate. And so it's a little, bonds are a little risky right now in that they require supermajority and a nation that's frankly divided in many people's opinion. So we do have plans. We have financial advisors. We, frankly, as educators, don't want to be in the political business of having elections before people at all times. The other piece of it, and I think it's similar for you, is that we're not allowed to advocate for it. We can just say, here's the facts. And frankly, what we're seeking is to really just, like I said in the letter, we know that they're necessary. There's no amount of mitigation that anybody can give us that will pay for a school. I never say never, but it's unlikely that somebody will buy a $20 million school or donate something like that. And so we're trying to space it out as much as possible so that we're not always in front of taxpayers. We need a renewal levy every 2 years also just to operate. So we're trying to mitigate things and just be honest with you that we haven't always been in front of you at the right time, at the right place to say, wow, that subdivision of 300 homes is going to hit us right between the eyes. This isn't the largest subdivision you're going to approve, or, you know, is before you. But it is one, and it's one that we're in sync with what you want from us. I think we're just stating the facts that as everything builds out, we'll go to a bond, and it may or may not pass, and we'll get screamed at for being in front of people for a vote all the time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I also want to thank you for getting here early on with these developments as they're coming on board. So at first notice from planning and zoning, when you can be at that table, that is so helpful. And I think the council, this has really made the council aware of the situation that the school's in, even more so. I think maybe we took for granted a little bit that the consistency of a 2% growth rate, that just seemed, it still seems baffling to me, but it also seems to me that someday that's going to explode a little bit. So I appreciate the fact that you have been coming and being involved in these discussions. That makes it very helpful.
Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate your partnership. We just We appreciate that you listen to public agencies, and we appreciate that we can be good partners in this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? No, appreciate that. Well done. Richard Durant.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, Richard Durant, 7590 South 10 Mile Road, Meridian. I know you want it to still be CUNA, but it's still Meridian. So thank you. I hadn't prepared anything, but I am passionate because I think each of us know that without strong schools, our cities, I mean, that's a reflection on our cities. And I know that this third of the front row up there knows what the importance of CUNA school districts are. And I'm thinking the other half I don't know very well, but but I know that you appreciate the importance of education in everybody's lives. And so I know that I can't keep track, but I'm sure it's 20-some grandkids in the CUNA school districts. And I just trying to ensure, and I appreciate the hard work that they have to go through to provide a valuable education to each of these individuals. I'm concerned about growth. I mean, it's really, for this city, I mean, as the mayor just said, who could anticipate this kind of growth? I did ask PNZ to try and give me a number saying, okay, how many houses are there already approved that haven't been developed yet, that have been platted or in the preliminary states? I mean, 2 years ago, we had a number that was about 16,000 homes that was out there that we didn't have on the books yet. And so to me, I feel that number is larger than that. I mean, as also with that, I'm still awfully concerned is the subdivisions that are next to me, there haven't been any parks. I mean, no big open spaces going into them. There doesn't seem, and maybe city code doesn't require that, but why are we not encouraging these developers to put 2-3 acre tracts out there that there is a place for these kids to go to? And I mean, if you go to the schools, if you go to the few big parks there are here, they're completely full of kids trying to be engaged and try to keep them off the streets. And we have great individuals trying to provide, I mean, sporting events to help these kids. And so I'm really disappointed that we haven't had that type of influence on these developers to say, this is an important asset to the city of CUNA. We are not just a suburb of Boise. We need to make sure that we have our identity as a city, and we can do that through PNC, through city council. We need to make these steps to make sure that we are providing a great area for people.
You hit the button. Now it's not. There you go.
My fault. But it was green.
I know. It's backwards. Outline. We do that on purpose.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I stand for any questions. I mean, I wanted to go back and say we did have grand plans of a 120-acre park north of me 10-plus years ago, and that would be great to have that type of something that is a huge draw for the citizens of this great community. So.
Okay, question for Richard.
Okay, thank you.
That said, the good news, we do have the Helen Zamzow Park that we are in current process of getting up and running, and we're a little ways away from that, but it'll be a very nice amenity with a lot of cool things in it and that. But very well spoken, Richard. I appreciate you.
Okay, always. Thank you.
So I'll ask one more time. Was there anybody who wished to testify who didn't get a chance? Lane? Yeah, go ahead. I'll just write your name on. Except I'll need your address.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Lane Saxton. I live at 1185 South Ash Avenue in CUNA. I didn't come to talk tonight, but after I got here, I realized I come for a different reason, but I didn't realize that the school was going to be here tonight. In answer to Council Member Laraway, back, I retired from CUNA School District in 15, and I went about my own way, and we parted on the best terms ever. And back when I was in charge of kind of administrator of operations for land acquisitions and different things like that, I think I've worked with every one of you, including your wife. We worked hard to get into city code back right around when we built the high school, which all those concepts started in 99, and the big crash of 2008, right before that, we had it in code that there was a certain number of homes that would be in a subdivision that they would provide green space. And it made it to code. I know it did, because the guy that was here that did it, his name was Steve Hassens, and it was part of his demise. But if real quickly, if you look back at all the stuff then that was going on with Jim Jewett and Tim Eck and all those developers, Crimson Point donated 11 acres. That was Jim Jewett. Silver Trail, Jim Jewett and Tim Eck donated 12 acres. The land came about quite easily after a little rub when we started the high school, and the first time we went out to bond, it failed miserably. And then catching the community up, it passed with overwhelming majority, 88%. It's never heard of in the history. So my point being is why I'm talking tonight is there was something, and I can't remember, I was going to call Chris and see if she could go back through and find out what it was, that provided green space for a certain number of homes in a subdivision. So I just wanted to put that out, and hopefully we can find something that reflects that there was green space provided for schools. And all the donations that we had and I was involved with, LeVar and Thornton's and Reed's, all those properties, 100 acres donated to the school district from LeVar Thornton. And Reed, 17 acres. All those areas that I talked about were huge in donating land to help out for not having to go to bond to purchase land. So anyway, thank you very much for allowing me to talk.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
All right. Anything further? Everybody good? Okay. I didn't offer the last meeting a chance for the applicant to rebut. Would you like to do that now?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I also have Mark Tate with the development team here with me, and we'll probably tag team this if that works for you.
Okay.
So my name's Heath Clark. I'm an attorney in Boise. My address is 251 East Front Street. And I just kind of wanted to chat real briefly about the school issue and maybe add a little bit more context there. You know, obviously, we're all on the same page. You know, we believe schools are important. We think the schools should be supported. We think that the state should do more to support the schools. We should be looking at other ways of funding schools. As developers, we need to have strong schools to be able to have marketable developments where people want to live. You know, so this is important to everyone. We all want to row in the same direction. It's an important conversation to have, but it's a conversation that has to happen at the right time, and it needs to happen in the right way. So Jace, I think, hit the nail on the head today about where we are in terms of this application, but I just want to emphasize a couple elements of that. So this project is a master planned community that was approved back in 2019. It is annexed, it's zoned, the densities are identified. So what we're doing tonight is really a check-the-box technical review to make sure that we're still in compliance with that original approval. And just to give a little bit more background to that, you know, the development agreement, which is a significant document, I'm sure you've all taken a look at it or remember it, You know, it outlines the way in which the project's going to develop. It identifies a number of different improvements that the developer will make, the ways that the developer will match the sewer and water infrastructures out here. And based on that development agreement, based on those approvals that are now several years old, the applicant has expended millions of dollars on infrastructure. They've entered into contracts with third parties. This is something where that cake is fairly well baked. And so, and as Jay just mentioned, this is the third final plat of the property. The first final plat was age-restricted. The second was not. This one is not. But they are both age-targeted. In other words, they're marketing to an older type, an empty nest type that is really not going to have the same impact on schools. So a lot of these questions, including the questions that are identified in the school district's letter, which we just had a chance to read just now, were questions that were answered more than 2 years ago. You know, we are more than happy to continue to sit down with the school district. We're more than happy to use our resources to try to help promote bonds. This is not a problem that's unique to CUNA School District. You know, we see this in West Ada, for example. I just spent an hour with the West Ada planners going over their projections for a project that I had to go talk about this kind of thing in front of Meridian City Council. So this is an issue that's not unique, but it is one that we all need to be pulling in the same direction on. But when we talk about what that mitigation is and why the city should deny an application for school capacity, we have to be really specific. And just saying, you know, that the council should give due consideration on the ability to serve, that doesn't tell you what's necessary to be able to serve the project. There needs to be a detailed evaluation. So, for example, this question of, is it a 55-plus community? You know, that really doesn't seem to have been taken into account. And, in fact, the letter that was previously provided by the school district actually says that there is capacity to serve. It's just the overall accumulation of lots that they're concerned about. So I would wrap up with this and just say, again, this is a technical review. That this does meet all of the – it checks all of the boxes. And we have relied on that development agreement that's been signed with the city. And we'd ask the council to allow us to move forward, but we will give you the assurance and the school board, most of whom appear to be here tonight, the opportunity that we will sit down with them and see how we can help in terms of future bond passages as well. So.
Okay. And questions?
Yes, go ahead.
I have one question. Yes. If I could, please. So, did I hear you say this is a 55 and up community?
Mr. Mayor,
I know that age restriction is in one part, but not this part. But then at the end, you said this was a 55 and up community.
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Christensen, if I said that, I misspoke. This is okay. Age targeted. So, in other words, it provides the types of lots, the types of amenities that we and our marketing will be to folks that are primarily empty nesters. So, not restricted by CC&Rs, not restricted by the sort of private contracts that you would put on in an age in a 55 plus only, but we anticipate that that's going to be the type of resident that we will have.
Thank you.
Okay. If there's no other questions, I'll turn the time over to Mr. Lee.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening, Mark Tate, 1673 Shoreline Drive, Suite 200. Thank you for your time here. I just wanted to come up and just quickly reiterate what Heath Clark said, and that is we truly do value the CUNA School District and everything that they do. We've met numerous times with their staff and want to continue supporting their mission and what they're doing. I appreciated Councilman Larraway's question to CUNA School District about, you know, what is your plan? When do you plan to float bonds? We didn't get specific answers, and I know I've had some of these conversations with them as well, and that is in the works, and I can understand their apprehension to always be in front of voters with bond levies, but, you know, I grew up in southeast Boise, and when Boise School District was booming. You know, that was an unfortunate reality of the situation, and West Ada School District and now CUNA School District. So as someone pointed out here tonight, there's many thousands of lots that are approved in the city of CUNA, and CUNA will continue to do 700 to 1,000 or more building permits per year into the foreseeable future. So, you know, that ship has sailed. The bonds need to happen. The bonds are going to come. And, you know, that is just an understandable process of growth. And I can understand that they kind of want to temper that a little bit. But we want to be good partners in it, and we will support them and their bonds and efforts to do that. But as Mr. Clark pointed out, tonight's not really the night to address school issues. That was at the annexation, and those decisions were made. The other thing I wanted to bring up, there was a couple of comments about just parks in the city and in general, and I wholeheartedly support that. We've agreed in the Falcon Crest Master Plan community to do a 10-acre city park. That is part of the plan, and I will note the city's actually in the process of building through a developer, a brand new riverfront park at Strobel along there, and we're donating a significant portion of that to make a great new asset for the city along Indian Creek, so we're super excited about that too. And as Mr. Saxton pointed out, you know, the last bond did pass, and you know, we haven't seen another one denied since then. So this would be just talking globally, I'm sorry, about, you know, schools and projects and approvals in general. You know, we're in a different position than most applications in front of you. Those are annexations, rezones, and this is really a different application and a different set of circumstances. Speaking more broadly, you know, bonds are probably the answer, and if they were here saying the same thing with two failed bonds in a row, then, you know, we're going to be in a real different situation as well. So thank you all for your time. We're super excited about the project and the golf course and all the amenities that are going up. I know you were presented on that last time. So anyway, we'd stand for any questions.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Mr. Tate? No. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything further? Wendy, you want to speak? I'll write your name, too.
Thank you.
I'll need your address, though.
Mine will be very quick. I just wanted to clarify some misinformation that was just shared with you, council members and mayor. Our last bond was in 2017, and it passed by 11 votes. Thank you.
I remember that. All right. Question is rightfully before council.
Mayor, if I you close the public hearing?
That depends on if you're done asking questions.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
This question's for staff. Jace, you might be the best one to answer this, because I think it's important to clarify. In this case, the school district does reference CUNA City Code 6-2-3-F, which does mention a lot of good points in commission's findings in determining the accepted proposed subdivision. And it talks about the conformance of the subdivision with the comprehensive plan, the availability of public services to accommodate, the continuity of the proposed development with the capital improvement program, the public financial capability to provide supporting services to the proposed development, and other health, safety, and environmental concerns. My question, more for clarification then, would be, in your findings, you guys very specifically talk about staff has reviewed the proposed preliminary plat for technical compliance with CUNA City Code and finds the application is in compliance with CUNA City Title V and Title VI of the CUNA City Code. Now, I just read from Title VI of CUNA City Code, but you reference very specifically technical compliance with CUNA City Code. Those parts I just read, Commission's findings, Section F of, one, the availability of public services to accommodate and the public financial capability to provide supporting services to the proposed development. Do those fall under the definition of technical compliance? Is that part of those findings? Is that what technical compliance is talking about?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Christensen, the question you're asking refers back to whether or not, like, the section that those five bullet points is the correct section that should be in. And in my opinion, the answer is no. The subdivision development standard was meant for the larger picture, the larger development of the project, the thing that was approved in 2019. It doesn't belong in the preliminary plat part, and that is something that staff is currently working on to correct. But the preliminary plat, that refers back to the state code version. The document, the application requirements listed out in that same preliminary plat section about what's in the plat, what's on the application, and in that sense, this plat is within technical compliance with what we ask for in a preliminary plat document.
So my understanding then, and forgive me, I just want to make sure I have this clear in my head with the decision at hand tonight, is that section I read from does not belong under section 6.2.3 and is not included in the consideration for technical compliance. Is that correct?
That is my understanding.
Thank you.
And then I'll just add in too. So when we went through the development agreement for these projects, the one thing that the city did was they obviously needed to add a lot of infrastructure to get city water and sewer and services out to those properties. So what we did with the development agreement is they were required to do oversizing. The first development that it comes to that actually was further away from the road, but through the development agreement and then moving it on out to Falcon Crest, we brought those lines up closer to the road. And what that does now, that means that puts those lines right adjacent to the Thornton 100 acres. One reason that the school couldn't use that and actually had to buy property on Linder was the amount of money that it would cost to bring those services to that property. The other thing that makes the Thornton 100 acres a little less desirable was the requirement to improve the intersection of Highway 69 and Puna Road. We're working through that now through a separate plan and a separate process. So hopefully we can get that Thornton 100 acres to be a viable piece of property for the school district. So this developer actually contributed quite a lot in order to getting that infrastructure to that property. And then we furthered that through our development agreement to make sure that it worked for the school district and making that piece of property more viable. So hopefully it won't be long before you can actually use that piece of property for whatever you'd like to and not have to spend a whole bunch of money getting water, sewer, and traffic taken care of for that. So anyway, that's a little bit of offline to what we're actually discussing here, but I just wanted to throw that out and let you know that was part of our discussion and our thought process with this development agreement. So,
Mayor, can I pick on Bobby for a minute?
Hit Bobby right up.
Okay. Questions have been brought up, and maybe just a little clarification from you about open space and green space and all that. And where obviously it's very important. When was it that we change our green space ordinance for subdivisions and that? It's been pretty recent, correct? I can't remember exactly when.
Councilman McPherson, I believe it was 2018 that the city approved the new open space ordinance, which actually has a, it's in city code. I was on it, but I'm not on it anymore. Per how many houses, so if somebody builds 328 houses, they have to contribute 10%. If they build 700, then they have to do 12.5. There's actually a list of how many houses are built, and then that's the percentage of open space. And then it's actually goes further in depth on what is considered for the open space requirements, and we did add that schools are considered in that as well. Mm-hmm. So if a developer came to us with a project and was like, well, we're going to put a school here, does that count towards our open space? We say yes, because it's for the public. So we do have those requirements in city code, and all of the developments that have come before us have met or exceeded those. A lot of them haven't been built yet because they were just approved, and normally parks and open space go last. Weird, I know. So that's why we're not seeing a lot of them right away.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, if I may, on that quick, one thing to keep in mind, too, with the process this project went through was the planned unit development, which is under a separate standard than what we have in 517 for open space. It's still required to provide 10% open space throughout the project. So it's not based off the unit. It's just a flat 10% across the residential development portion.
Thank you.
Another question for Mark, if I may.
Okay.
Staff references State Statute 67-6511, which reading the detailed statute on that is very specific to the zoning statute. How does that apply to preliminary plat? Or how is it that we're taking all the zoning definition discussion and applying it to the preliminary plat?
Can you tell me the statute?
67-6511. It is the local land use planning zoning ordinance.
I think I know, but I just want to look at this first.
You're just like our engineer. You don't want to answer questions unless you know you're technically right.
Yeah, dang attorneys, right? Mark Bybee, city attorney. So looking at this, it talks about, I see this as an empowering a city government to enact a zoning ordinance is the purpose of this. And so reference it to it, and then reference to your zoning code is important in plat consideration, because through zoning code, you establish I-1 zoning districts, and so what we're talking about, does it comply with zoning districts? The zoning districts, you know, I don't know what the zoning district on this one, I'll have to lean on staff, but okay, what's the zoning district? And then within the zoning district, you usually have lot size requirements and other like technical requirements, street frontage requirements, those kinds of things. So at the plat phase, the reason you had, okay, we're looking at, you can pass a zoning ordinance, the city has, and now we look at city zoning ordinance, what does it do? You're looking at it, are these lot sizes the right size? Are the street frontages the right size? I'm sure Jace could add to the list of things that would be technical requirements in zoning code, but you do refer to zoning code when you're reviewing a plat, because there are technical things in zoning code that apply to plats.
So is there not a state statute then that does reference preliminary plats, or can you remind me what that is?
So the platting law is actually in Title 50, Chapter 13, that talks about plats. And when you get into that, the requirements in that title and chapter, it gets into really nitty-gritty things like the dimensions of the paper you print on must be this large. You need to use like laser jet printing techniques. You need to obtain these certain certifications on a plat and these signatures on a plat. And so those things go to technical compliance because it's getting at what is this plat looking like by the time we're done. And so there are platting provisions, but they're located not in LUPA, they're located elsewhere, and it really gets to kind of highly specific things along those lines.
Okay, thank you.
Awkward pause.
Yeah, no more questions.
John, how are you? That leaves you.
I still can't wrap my head around why we reference the zoning ordinance with preliminary plat if there's state statute that talks specifically about preliminary plats and not zoning, because we're not at the zoning stage. And it just seems that staff is using that as a fine line item just for their recommendation. So I guess more or less, if someone can help me wrap my head around that.
I'll try and do better this time around. We'll see if I can.
So
the zoning, there's a very basic part of zoning, which we talk about at annexation. When something comes into a city and you're annexing, you're looking, all right, are we going to annex? And if we do, what are we going to assign it as a zoning designation?
Right.
And that zoning designation, once assigned, that zoning designation has a lot of criteria that's in your zoning ordinance. So, okay, this was annexed in as, I'm just going to, for simplicity, so let's say got R1 zone. And so that's what we got assigned to it. I'm not saying that's accurate, so it might be a different zoning designation. But then you go in and say, okay, R1 zones in our ordinance, and this 676511 allows you to create a zoning ordinance that defines the parameters of what zone types you have and what the criteria are in that zone. So at annexation, you set the zone, and now when you're looking at a plat, it's like, okay, now we're going back and we are in an R1 zone. Our zoning ordinance has these criteria on what a plat is, like some of the plat criteria that's going to go into anything developed in that zone. And you got commercial zones, and you're going to have a broadly different plat design when you're presenting something that's going to be developed in a commercial zone. And yes, the commercial zoning was assigned at annexation, but then when we get to plat and we're starting to see it, it's like somebody has a commercial zone, and this is never going to happen today. I think maybe historically these types of problems could have happened, but with professional developers, the probability of professional developers showing up and saying, hey, approve my single family plat in a commercial zone, and you're going to say, get out of here, right? Any sense. Or petition to rezone this. They'd have to try and convince you to rezone it alternatively. So that's why we're talking about zoning criteria during a plat, is because there are technical requirements to what the plat looks like based on the zone.
Perfect, yeah. That clears it up, and it's a lot simpler than I was trying to envision, so I appreciate that.
Good to proceed?
Okay.
Okay. Then let's move to close the public hearing and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion carries.
Okay. Well, I will start off, I guess, by thanking the public input from the audience tonight, the passion for the youth in our school district. It's overwhelming what's happened. I mean, 25 years ago, no one would have predicted this. It's just insane. I'd like to thank the school board for being here, or the school staff for being here. You know, they do a tremendous job, and I mean, we have high up office peoples, transportation people, former building staff, and land acquisition staff here, and we've got all aspects of the job they have to do, and it's tough on our part to just, you know, approve or deny something. It's tough. There's a lot of information, and you know, you feel in your heart one way, but we are the final decision making body, and this is a plat that was already approved
with the development agreement. Moving forward, we have representation from the fire department, the school district, stuff we haven't had in my 6 years on council here. We'd send out letters for, hey, we're going to annex this ground. No one gave comment. And now we're getting everybody in the same sandbox to play equally and let their voice be known. Hey, we're low on staffing. We're low on teachers. We need another school. We need more fire trucks. We need more police cars. You know, everybody has a voice now, and everyone's communicating. But at this point, we have to focus on this is a plat for an already approved development and with a development agreement, and that's really what the focus of this is, I think. And I feel for the school district. I mean, I've been through it myself, put three stepdaughters through it. Now I have two on the way that are a couple years out, but someday they'll be there too. So I absolutely want what's best for them, but at the end of the day, this is beyond that, I guess.
And you even had a tassel on your head at one time, right?
I did, yeah. Class of 96, back when Miss Johnson was an English teacher. Yeah.
No, Greg, you know, thank you for saying that, because I think really it just, this does also hit home in a sense, but I just want to second everything you said, and you know, I can't thank the school staff for being as involved as they have been as of late, and the discussions we've had and the partnership that we can continue to carry forward, and where we're at with this and what you talked about and the stage we're at with this, it truly does pain me to know we're beyond that notion of consideration. And I don't think that's a secret in how I feel about that. And you know, it's something that I think we as a council sometimes, as the final decision body maker, really have to look at every single aspect of exactly what's in front of us, as opposed to more or less what was in the past and what's already passed.
Okay.
I worry not about this subdivision, but I worry about future annexations that we have more control over as a council. And I want to thank the school district for getting in here with us, because we're in this together. There are kids too. Mine have gone K through 12 and they're out, but there still are kids from the community. And future annexations are going to be a little bit tougher with your help and your input to supply some clarity of where we need to be at what time. Again, this plat in front of us has been here for 2 years in the working. And I think it's a little bit harder to ignore what we've all, planning and zoning, city staff, has worked on for 2 years to get this where it's at, and the patience of the developer to get this moved along. It's going to be a tough decision. It really is. I know the city, the school districts, got a hard road ahead of them. I am going to support you 100%. If you run bonds, I'll be vocal. I'll knock on doors for you. But it's not only the school district that's feeling the pinch. I was talking earlier about the fire district. They have one fire station. There is plans for another one, but they're covering everything with one fire station. So we do have other service issues that we have to address. Luckily, they have their own impact. Money that they get, but yeah, I don't have much more to say.
Same. I want to say thank you to the attorney, thank you to the staff and the school district. I've looked at everything from state code to city ordinance to what we could do and couldn't. And I think there's going to be some pain going forward with stuff that's already been annexed. That's kind of how I feel. But as of this right now, I think we're just looking at a technical compliance. It did start years ago. And I think they've met the development agreements that they've signed up for. And we should take that into consideration.
Okay. Is that a motion? We also did have a request for, and this had to do with the Ada County Highway District staff report, a couple of changes in there. I think my suggestion would be that we ask staff support that and let that go back to, it's an ACHD staff report, so I'm not sure we can change that, but obviously things like if it's a golf cart crossing in a golf community, that kind of makes sense. But Jace, did you have a comment on that?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, for the record, Jace Hellman, Keene Applying Zoning Direction, 751 West 4th Street. I don't believe you have the ability to alter ACHD staff report. That is run against their policy for compliance there. Now, if we have a stricter standard, like, for example, we require larger sidewalks, we require wider street widths, those things we have every right to trump. But if it's a mitigation strategy or a policy, they do things at staff level unless it doesn't meet their policy. And if it doesn't meet their policy, they'll go to their commission. So in my opinion, we could support a golf cart crossing or provide staff support for that. But the ultimate thing is I believe that they would then be conditioned to go back to the commission to alter that through their processes. I'm of the opinion that we can't do that in this realm.
Okay. So do we need as part of the motion to support that, or
if that is the applicant's still request to alter those things and the council's on board with what they're requesting, then I think it'd be appropriate at that point to add a condition that with staff support, they alter that section of the policy or however they want to word it with the Ada County Highway District Commission.
Mayor, I'm sorry. I have a family slight emergency that I got to deal with. I'm going to have to step out.
Okay. Thank you. Don't forget your jacket.
Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Yeah. Mayor, members of the council, sorry, just for a quick thing. The applicant did just say that they don't want to worry about the ACHD changes, so if you want to leave that out of the condition.
Okay. You were trying to find the...
I was writing notes on what to say, so thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. So...
I think I have everything in order. There's really no conditions at this point. I can just move that we approve case number 2104-S.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve case number 21-04-S. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. All good?
Yeah.
Okay. All Okay. Okay. We have other things, but I would like to just say, since we have a lot of school staff here, most of the meetings that I'm on the legislative committee for the Association of Idaho Cities, there's been at least 3 to 4 times this year, we meet every Friday, that it has been mentioned that there's quite an interest in allowing school districts to impose impact fees. Morgan actually mentioned today that in her travels, the associations and meetings that she's been at for economic development, they all see the value in that. So I think there's probably a very good time to bring that back up. I know CUNA School Board actually was the one to take lead on that a year or two ago. If you still have that, I'd be happy to help get that brought back up. I think that's critical. There have been, I don't even know how much funding has been lost because of that inability to collect impact fees, but I'd be more than happy. I think the Association of Idaho Cities would support it. I don't know if the School Board Association would be on board yet or not, but do you want to say something? Go ahead if you'd like. Well, I think there is a point in which we can get the legislature enough push to, the grocery tax repeal. They're getting hit hard with that right now, and I think there are a few that are changing their minds. So I think the benefit of impact fees for school districts is so huge. Their main goal now is to make impacts on property tax, right? Well, what bigger impact on property tax is there than?
From your mouth, that's what I'm going to say.
All right. Well, let me know whatever I can do. I'm more than happy to help take charge on that, bring it to Association of Idaho Cities. And
I'm writing that down right now.
You got it.
All right.
Sure.
Question, just because Boyle and I discuss this a lot, but the Association of Idaho Cities has been the main drag on this proposal that we've tried to bring forward for the last 4 or 5 years. And so I'm trying to get all the schools on board, but trying to see where exactly. It's an election year. It's not going to happen this year. I know that. So just trying to figure out.
Well, that's why I'm saying, because now I actually have more support from Association of Idaho Cities. So.
Thank you.
No, you're fine. Sorry, I got off topic. I let my meeting get out of control and way away from me, but it's my fault, so it's okay. This brings us to business items. Consideration to approve case number 2106-LLA, lot line adjustment, 531 North School Avenue and 900 West 4th Street.
Mayor, I don't think we had the actual vote to approve the last item.
Oh, did I not do that?
No, we missed that.
We didn't do a call-out vote, but we all voted for approval.
All in favor say aye, and then I ask if anyone was opposed, and no one spoke up.
Okay. Thank you.
And for the record, I motioned it, and John seconded it. Yeah.
All right. Who we have on this? Doug?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. The application before you this evening is requesting to lot line adjust two parcels located at 531 North School Avenue, owned by Mr. Jacobson, and 900 West 4th Street, owned by Mr. Doan, consisting of approximately 1.9 acres. The request, if approved, will facilitate the adjustment of a shared property line between Mr. Doan and Mr. Jacobson. The property line to be adjusted is Mr. Doan's northernmost property line and a 63-foot segment of Mr. Jacobson's southern property line. There is a jog in the south property line of Mr. Jacobson's parcel that jogs 21 feet to the north and then runs 63 feet to the west of the west property line of his parcel. The lot line adjustment will move the 63-foot segment 21 feet south so that Mr. Jacobson's and Mr. Doan's shared property boundary will run evenly across the property. Staff has determined that this application is compliant with the Comprehensive Plan, CUNA City Code, and Idaho Code. If the council approves this application, staff recommends that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 7 of the staff memo. With that, I will stand by for questions.
Okay. Questions?
Quick question, Doug. Simple lot line adjustment, and there's that letter in there that talks about the purpose of it, just to straighten the south property line, but it does come with an R6 designation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you know why they request that to be an R6 designation, Doug?
Both properties are already in the city and they're zoned R6. Those are their zoning districts. There's no designation request with the application.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pretty standard, yeah, lot line adjustment like we've done before. Chris, do you have any questions on there?
No, sir.
John, you good?
No, sir.
Okay. I would move then we approve case number 2106 LLA.
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve case 2106-LLA. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Quarterly report, Jared Empey, City Treasurer.
Good evening, Mayor and Council, and Jared Empey, City Treasurer. Just wanted to come before you and give a quarterly report as to where we are with our finances. This is a required disclosure according to state code. As part of this, we present a statement of our cash that we have on hand and also the budget results as of the end of quarter one, which was ending December 31st, 2021. As you can see in your packet, the cash that we have on hand at the end of quarter one was $49.5 million in various funds and also various accounts that we have. That's a healthy number given the increases that we've seen over the past few years. Then as we move on to the budget results, we can see that for the most part revenue is stable overall in our proprietary funds. You can also see that we've received some grants. One of those grants we actually received in cash, I want to say yesterday, for the Greenbelt acquisition. So that paid for half of that. And we are also beginning to expend funds that we received as part of the ARPA legislation that was passed last year. Some of these projects that we have that are going to be related to the American Rescue Plan Act are mainly sewer related. So one of the items that we have on the docket is the pivots that we're working with getting installed at the Swan Falls treatment plant. Also, as I mentioned, revenue overall is stable. Expenses so far are under control or are currently essentially in line with budget results. Obviously, we're going to have a few immaterial differences just based on what we had planned on, but nothing that I see as a problem. However, one thing that we see currently is that building permit related revenue has decreased. I think some of these explanations have various reasons. Some can be from non-approval of subdivisions. Two can be COVID-related impacts. This can range from staff limitations. It can range from shortages within the builder community. It can range from price inflation that we've experienced over the last 2 years. It can also be related to sewer capacity concerns that make it so that development fills out slower. But overall, I think that it's stable, and I think that the addition of the Project Peregrine that we discussed in, I believe it was December, will help in the general fund to kind of mitigate any reduction in building permit revenue, just as a relation so that you understand. Basically, 2000 fiscal 2021 and fiscal 20 were basically identical. I think that there was a difference of like $800 in that building permit revenue. So basically, we had like pretty much identical results. But basically, we've seen building permits slow down basically starting in June from what I've seen. And so that trend has continued. It's hard to say how deep that slowdown will end up being, but obviously there's quite a few factors that may be beyond our control to always mitigate, but we are doing our best to mitigate what we can, whether that's capacity concerns through the project down 10 Mile to alleviate those capacities through Danskin. Obviously, we can't fix price inflation or shortages, or we can't completely eradicate COVID, but we're doing our best to fix what we can, as I stated. Then one thing that we're looking at with the budget cycle kind of coming up is just making sure that we're conservative in our estimates for the coming year, and also making sure that we're keeping track of kind of what I see as the biggest threat to long-term financial stability, which is, as they call it, the stealth tax, which is inflation. As you may have seen in the news recently, the consumer price index as of January was up 7.5%. An historical average is probably between 2.5 and 3, so that's pretty high. We also see a producer price index, which is really a leading indicator of where consumer prices are going, at 9.7%. So that's obvious. So that's recorded as a 40-year high with inflation. So I feel like that's probably our biggest concern on the horizon. That essentially, no matter how much money we can save through diligency and frugalness, really that inflation is really our biggest concern going forward. So we'll do our best to make sure that we can control what we can and essentially be as manage our funds as best we can. Obviously, we'll have deeper discussions this summer concerning our budget for fiscal 2023, but I think that things seem stable for 2022, but obviously a lot's to be seen after the elections in November and other events that may significantly change national policy or even local policy. So with that, I stand for any questions.
Okay, questions for Jared. Jared, thank you very much.
Yep.
That brings us to consideration to approve ordinance 2022-05. This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA making certain findings and enlarging the boundaries of the CUNA Municipal Irrigation System by the inclusion of Ada County Assessors DB Development LLC and declaring water rights appurtenant thereto or pooled for delivery purposes, and directing the city clerk to record this ordinance as provided by law, directing the city engineer to provide notice of this ordinance to the Boise-Cuna Irrigation District, the owners, and update the irrigation system map, and providing an effective date.
Okay, basic one of these, as we do so many. So I would move we waive three readings of ordinance 2022-05.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2022-05. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries.
I would move we approve ordinance 2022-05.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 2022-05. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries.
And I have a note that says we don't need summary publications on these. Is that correct? Okay. Good job, Nate.
Consideration to approve ordinance 2022-06, a municipal municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council of the City of Cuna, making certain findings and declaration of authority and annexing certain real properties to wit Ada County Assessor's parcel numbers R061525025 and R061525700, owned by M3ID Rising Sun LLC, within an unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and contiguous to the corporate limits of the City of Cuna, into the City of Cuna, Idaho, and establishing the zoning classifications of said real properties, and directing the city engineer and city clerk, and providing an effective date.
Okay. I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2022-06.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance 2022-06. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
I move we approve ordinance 2022-06.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 2022-06. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. That takes us to our next executive session we need. We need a motion to adjourn to executive session. I think we can do both of these at once, 74-206A and 74-206B.
And who do we need? Or I guess I don't have to say that, do I? Who do we need in it? Then I move we adjourn to the executive session under Idaho Code 74206A and B.
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. I guess I'm not familiar with the number B. Who all do we need to have for that one?
If you're looking at me, I didn't know either of these ones were coming.
Okay.
So.
Nancy, are these, is this other one yours?
Yes.
Okay. Do we need legal here? Or, I mean, no reason not to have him, I guess. Okay. So, you, myself and counsel, and Mark, is that it? Okay. Do we want to just go back down to the other room? We can do that. Let's just do that real quick.
So I would move we adjourn from executive session where advice was given and no action was taken.
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries. So we have sad news that our planning and zoning director, Jace, will be leaving us and going to his hometown so that he and his young child can be with grandma, grandpa, and the family can be together. So not happy that he's leaving, but excited for his adventures in the future for him. And as you know, planning and zoning director is one of those items that has to be approved by council. So we did some internal applications. Doug is the person that I have chosen to take that position. I think he will be great at it. His education matches and actually better than we would probably necessarily need for that position. So it's been a pleasure to work with Doug. Doug and Jace have been on the same page throughout everything. I appreciate so much the direction that we've gone with Jace since he took over, and I was just saying how excited I am for you and your new adventure, although we don't like the fact that you're leaving. But anyway, so my request tonight is that you would confirm the appointment of Doug Hansen to be our planning and zoning director.
Okay, with that, I would like to approve the mayor's appointment of Doug Hansen to the planning and zoning director.
I second that.
Motion is made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And that is all we have. Was there any other announcements or anything anybody wants to discuss before we adjourn?
No, sir.
Okay. Council, thank you very much. I know this was a difficult meeting, but I appreciate your efforts. I know that you all spent a lot of time doing a lot of research on especially this one, so I know how much time that takes and effort, and I want you to know you're appreciated for that. So thank you very much, and meeting adjourned.